We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Galatians chapter 5, look down about verse 16, and it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, barrenness, or discord, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, and murder, drunken, rivaling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections, or the passions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now, I want to preach, as I said, just for a minute here on this scripture that I read here in your hearing. As I said, yes, I know the day is Father's Day, and we're not going to preach what you would call a Father's Day message, but just want to preach a message that God has laid on our heart for this day. And if I would take a text this morning from reading the verses that I read here this morning, I would preach on walking the right pathway. Walking the right pathway. Now, Jesus, as we all know, spoke of there being two possible pathways through this life. And if you'll look over in Matthew chapter 7, and verse 13 and verse 14, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and there be many which go in therein." And then Jesus said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, unto life, and there be few that find him." And so Jesus spoke of two pathways that you can choose to follow through this life. And Jesus made it very, very clear that when we enter on that narrow way, that we're saved by grace, and that we're headed for heaven. And also he says, while all of those who remains on that broad way, they're headed for that awful place called hell. There's only two places. There are only two ways. And so while all of those choose not to, they're unsaved. So now as Christians, we want us to see right here what the Bible said. Now, I'm not so particularly talking about the saved and the unsaved, but I want to talk about, as a Christian this morning, that you also can choose one of two pathways that you want to travel. And so here this morning, I want you to understand that a lot of Christians today are walking on the wrong pathway. A lot of Christians this morning are doing that. Now let me just see here. If you believe that once you become a Christian, that means you cease to sin, then you have a rude awakening coming. Because the Word of God says, now look with me, if you will, over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 through 10. And this is what the Word of God says here in 1 John 1, 8 through 10. When we say, if you think you'll never sin, as you can say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Now, this is John writing to the church. He's writing to Christian people. He's writing to saying people there. So while we have literally passed from death unto life, as the Bible says, but I also want to say, if you're saved, you've already passed from death unto life. But I also want you to understand and see here that the Bible says that a dead, ineffective, fruitless spiritual life will always be the result of walking in the wrong pathway. Now, on the other hand, to walk in the right pathway is to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And so it is to be fruitful. It is to be effective and do this for the glory of God. That's what He wants you to do after you're saved. So it is to experience that abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. Jesus said, I came not only to give life, but I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I'm persuaded today that the majority of Christians are not enjoying the abundant life that you can have in the Lord Jesus if you choose to have that. And so here this morning, that's what that we want to talk about here just for a few minutes. Now, these verses that we have read here this morning tells us that all we need to know about the difference between the two pathways and we can choose to walk in. Now listen to what I have to say here tonight. Now I know, I don't know this morning about a lot about all of you. I know some about some of you. You know some about me. And I don't know a whole lot about the most of you. But I am persuaded that no one here, sitting here today, that's saying that you want to be a spiritual failure. I believe that you want your life to count for the Lord. I believe that you want your life to be effective, that you want your life to be lived for the glory of God. That when you come to the end of the way, that you might be able to say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And there's a crown laid up for me, and not to me only, but to all of those who love His appearing. Now listen, while we, and look at this right here. And I want you to see here that what He says here, and you read all these verses down through here, and He talks about if you do these things, and He's not talking about here that you don't occasionally commit one of these sins as a Christian, that you don't occasionally commit one of these sins that's listed there. We all know that none of us is perfect, that this flesh is weak. Is that not true? That this flesh is subject to do anything that's possible. But what He says is, if this kind of a life is your normal, if this is the way that you live, then you're headed to that awful place called hell. That you're not saved. But He says, if we're a Christian and we commit some of these things, that there is forgiveness for us. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad this day that there is forgiveness for the children of God, that we can be forgiven? And so here this morning, I want to look at these verses here, and I want to learn the lesson that can be gleaned here as we think about walking the right pathway. And the first pathway, the pathway of spiritual disaster. And that is also known as the flesh life. Now look in verse 17. The Bible plainly tells us that this flesh is opposed to the spirit. There is a warfare that's going on. Now, how many of you as a Christian don't know that? How many of you as a Christian has not experienced that? Every one of us that has been saved any time at all knows that there is a warfare that goes on constantly in the life of a Christian between the flesh and the spirit. Now, the flesh seeks to hinder prayer. The flesh seeks to hinder Bible study. The flesh seeks to hinder us witnessing. It seeks to hinder us being faithful to the things of God. And not only that, but it seeks to hinder us from being obedient to the things of God. And so this flesh, or this Adamic nature that we were all born with, we're not talking about this flesh here that you touch, but we're talking about that nature to do wrong, that nature to sin, that nature that Adamic nature that we got by being a person. That's what it wants to do, and it wants to hinder. And so here this morning, as we look at this, and then if you look down in verse 19, let me back up here first. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. That's right. Now look what 1 Peter 2:11 said. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you, as a pilgrim and stranger, abstain from fleshly lust, which wars against the soul. Abstain from those things. Stay away from those things. Don't go near those things. Abstain from those fleshly lusts, that which war against the spirit. And then the flesh is open to any sin. Verse 19 through verse 21, as you go down through there. Man today is capable of anything that can be imagined, and some things that cannot be imagined. As you listen to the news today and you hear of the horrible things that are going on, you just wonder, how could anybody be that depraved to commit such horrible things? But I want to say, never say that would never happen to me. Don't ever say that. Go listen. There have been some lot greater men of God than me that have said it'll never happen to me, that it did happen to. You remember Simon Peter when Jesus said, we're going in and because of me, many of you today are going to be offended. And Simon Peter said, Lord, though they all will be offended, I will never be offended because of you. And Jesus said, this day before the cock crows thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the Bible tells us how that when that hour come of temptation, and Simon Peter was questioned whether that he knew the Lord or not, that he even come to the place where he cursed and said that he did not know him. Moses denied the Lord. How many great men of God denied? So don't ever say that I wouldn't do it. Just say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that would be me. When someone falls into temptation. Now listen, the flesh is capable of anything without exception. Now the flesh is ordained to judgment. As we know what's going to happen one of these days to the person that don't get saved. The person that refuses the Lord Jesus Christ. The person dies without being born into the family of God. We know that there's only one place awaits for that person. And that's that place called hell. Now you listen to me. You're not going to live. You're not going to get good enough to go to heaven. You can't do enough good works to go to heaven. You can't turn over enough leaves to go to heaven. You can't do enough charity work to go to heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. You must be born. One of the most religious people that's ever lived upon this earth. Jesus said you must be born again. So we know that the lost sinner, we know what's going to happen to him. But we also know that the unfaithful Christian will face the judgment seat of Christ. Don't think that you're going through life as a Christian and nonchalantly and ignoring everything that God would have for you to do and rejecting everything that the Spirit of God is leading you to do and you're just going to skate through life and on an easy bed and never face that again. No. The Bible says that every one of us must everyone give an account to God for our lives. You're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account. From the day that I was saved until the Lord calls me home, I'm going to have to give an account for my life and what I've done for the Lord and what I have not done for the Lord. So if you're escaping by enjoying the pleasures of this life and enjoying all the things that the flesh wants to do and you think you're getting by, and you'll never have to have any kind of penalty for that, let me tell you, yes, one day you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. Not only that, but here in this present world, you'll face, if you're really saved, you'll face the chastisement of God. God will chastise you. People comes up to me, they're Christians, say, boy, such horrible things are happening in my life. And I don't think there's even spiritual enough to even imagine that it might be the chastening hand of God that has bound them. Listen to me. God loves you. That's why He chastens you. God doesn't chasten you because he wants to hurt you or to harm you. God always wants the best for you. And punishment, and you as and on Father's Day here today, when you had to take the belt and punish your child, it wasn't to hurt them, but it was to help them and to teach them that there's consequences for disobedience. There are consequences for doing the things that you know is wrong. And trying to help them to learn that because of the consequences that they face, they won't do that again. They won't do something that will hurt their life or to harm their life. But listen, as we look at this, what's the pathway? What's the pathway are you on as a Christian? How are you living this morning? And so the great secret, that's the great secret that Satan wants to hide from us. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Satan don't want you to know that verse is in the Bible. Because if we look at our life and say that's sin and then come and repent of it and turn from it, then we won't have to be judged for that. If we'll judge ourselves, we'll not be judging. And from forgetting you, to get you from getting the wrong idea, God is not saying here that a slip in any of these areas will prevent us from going to heaven. Read all those sins down through there. The verb do in this verse right here, it indicates an ongoing lifestyle. It means that's the way you live. That's your lifestyle. You're involved in these kinds of sins. It's a lifestyle for you. And he says if your life is given to these activities, then you're not going to heaven. Then you're lost, you're unsaved, if this is your lifestyle. But he said, if you have slipped, or you happen to slip here from time to time, that isn't all right. But you should repent of it. And if it is, and if you do repent of it, then God will forgive you. Amen. Somebody, and I may have said this here last week. Somebody said, preacher, have you ever got to the place where that you don't sin or can't sin? I said, no. I haven't ever got to the place where I can't sin, but I have got to the place where I don't enjoy it no more. It breaks my heart when I sin. Because I know that I've sinned against my Father. I've broken His heart. I've brought shame and I've brought reproach upon Him. I've disgraced the name of the Lord Jesus. And so listen, but when we do that, there's forgiveness. There is forgiveness. So we see the pathway of the flesh. We see the pathway of spiritual disaster. when we follow the flesh and don't follow the Spirit. And then we see the pathway of spiritual delight, also known as the spirit life. The Spirit gives us victory over our lust. Is that not true? The Spirit gives us victory over our lust. To walk in the Spirit simply means to surrender to the Spirit. See, you read that terminology sometime and you think, what in the world does it mean, walk in the Spirit? How do you walk in the Spirit? Well, that simply means to surrender your life to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Just follow Him. That's what it means. And so, we'll be led by either our flesh or we'll be led by the Holy Spirit. That is true of every person. Every Christian, you'll either be led by your flesh or you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. There are some people this morning that's not here, that should have been here, that when they got up this morning, they were led by the flesh rather than being led of the Spirit. The flesh says, go out and picnic and enjoy yourself today. And I'm not against those kind of things. I like that myself. But I believe that when it's church time over at the house of God, I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit is saying to everybody, you need to go to church today. You need to go over to my house. You need to go over there and meet with my people. You need to hear the Word of God taught and preached. You need that in your life. And the flesh is saying, no, go enjoy time with your family. Go enjoy all of this and all of that. And the Spirit is saying, do the things of God. Go to the house of God. Go, go, go. And so we'll either be led one or the other. It's a constant thing. It's every day. Which one wins depends upon which one we yield to. You that are sitting here this morning, you yielded to the Spirit of God when you got up this morning. The Spirit said, let's go. You need to go to the house of God. And some that are not sitting here this morning, and not only in this local assembly, but in local assemblies all over the world today, the flesh said, go to the ball game, go to this or go to that. But listen, the Father says, go to the house of God. I was seeing something the other day on television. And the NFL said this right here. Showed the stands sitting full on Sunday. And said, used to the church on Sunday. And said, now we own it. Isn't that an indictment against the church, against Christians? That a sporting event has taken over what the house of God used to own? Listen to me. There's either my flesh wins or the Spirit will win. The Spirit will defeat the flesh if you allow Him to. You don't have to succumb to temptation. You don't have to give in to your lust. Stronger is He, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. If you allow the Spirit of God, you can overcome these things. You don't have to yield to these things. People says, I couldn't help it. Yes, you could have helped it. I could have helped it. We all could have helped it. And still we have to say, we have a say, I have a say, you have a say in what you allow into your life. Is that not true? I have a say. I have a say-so in what I allow to come into my life. You listen to what I'm saying. And you have a say-so. In other words, we need to avoid places. And we need to avoid people. And we need to avoid things and images and music and anything that would bring temptation to us. We need to stay away from those things. We need to avoid those things. And so I have that choice of what I allow to come into my life. And so, if we mess around with it, we'll give in to it. What did the Word of God say? How do you think that you can play with fire without getting burnt? How do you think you can? How do you think you can dabble in sin and be around sin and not succumb to it? Walking the two pathways. The life following after the Spirit, following after the flesh. Which best describes you this morning? The Spirit gives us victory in verse 18 over the law. Listen, still, we're still, as children of God, we're still commanded by God's law. What is God's law? This book here. His Word. As a Christian, verse 18 says, that we're still commanded by God's Word, or God's law, but no longer condemned by it. How about that? We're no longer condemned, but we're commanded. Now this verse declared, verse 18, the truth, that the law was made for those who walk after the flesh. That's what the law was for. When we're yielded to and walking in the Spirit, now you listen to what I'm saying. When we're yielded to and walking after the Spirit, the law serves no purpose in our lives. Why? Because the Spirit always leads you in accordance to His Word. The Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. So if you're following the Spirit, then you're following the right way. You're going the right way. You're doing the right thing. And so because we automatically have a desire to fulfill the law of God as it is written in our hearts, as it says in 1 Timothy 1:9. The Word of God is, as a Christian, the Word of God is written in our hearts. And so therefore, for the children of God, therefore, for the Spirit, the law of God is not a condition to be met for salvation. Now, in other words, you don't have to live up to every one of those commandments before you can get saved. We wouldn't none of us be saved here this morning if we had to live up to all that. Nobody, the Bible says that nobody could keep the law. Because if you offend in one place, you're guilty of it all. So there's none of us could have done that. But rather, obedience to it is an indicator of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can tell me all you want to how much you love Jesus. You get up here on this stage and say all you want to how much you love Jesus. But I want to tell you the real indicator of how much you love Jesus is how you live your life. It's how you live.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.